Hello everyone, I'm Pastor Steve Crombie of the River Virtual Church. All right, sorry, it's week two, a little stir crazy, but greetings to everyone. We are in our newly remodeled kitchen again, and little did Joan and I realize when we decided to renovate this that we weren't remodeling our kitchen, we were building a video recording studio. So. How crazy is that? I just do want to say, in light of this going virtual, and we've heard from a lot of Riverites from around the country that are tuning in. So I want to say hello to everyone. And I also want to say hello to you. Maybe you're not from the River Church, but you're watching because somebody loves you very much and invited you to come and hopefully be encouraged by some truth from the Lord God Almighty. And that's what my goal always is to encourage people in Christ and to know that God is for us. And so because of the need to go virtual and not being able to connect with people, I reawakened my Facebook account that I had from years ago that I haven't used for years. And one thing I appreciate, and by the way, I know you're here through our address, the River Church MN, which works for Facebook, for YouTube, and for Instagram. So the River Church MN, as in Minnesota. So you can go to any one of those three and hopefully stay connected in that way as much as we can. But I resurrected my Facebook account, and one thing I really appreciate about Facebook is the humor. There is some quality, hilarious stuff out there, and I do appreciate it. My wife keeps me up to date on a lot of it. One of my favorites, can I just share a little bit? One, due to the panic buying, Walmart has opened register number 3. That's funny. That is funny. So, and then what kind of jokes does the CDC allow? Only inside jokes. I'm waiting for the virtual laughter to go down, but no, there are a lot more, but I'm gonna stop there. So, but humor does good like a medicine. I would just encourage you, find a way to laugh every 4 hours. You'll do well for that. I do want to open the scripture though and share from a passage, Romans 12. It's the Apostle Paul speaking to new Roman believers about how to live for Christ. And in chapter 12, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And this is how we can serve the Lord. The next verse, 12, Romans 12, 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And I just want to open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, thank you that you've never left us. You don't forsake us, and we trust you, God. Just pray you'd bless our time together. Bless this message, Lord, that we would hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're here in rain, here it comes. It's starting to pour. Hopefully it's not too loud, but what does it mean to be joyful in hope? I want to say, in light of this pandemic, in light of this situation worldwide, everything that we've hoped for in Christ is still true. It's still in place. The promises of God are still yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still on the throne. He's still holding all things together. He's still the Most High God in whom there is no other. And I just want to encourage you with that. The fact that we're blessed, as the Bible says, that we are blessed, those in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies is still true. And that we who are in Christ have been given all we need for life and godliness. That's still true. The promise of God to supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ, that's still true. And that's why we can be joyful in hope. Joyful, because when we just think of all those things, And that's what I'd encourage you to do. Think on those things. Ponder those things. And speaking of joy itself, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus himself, of course, is very serious, but he's also anointed with the oil of joy over all of his peers, the Bible tells us. So, in fact, he's the one who gave us these people that can come up with this funny stuff that we see during a difficult time. And have you seen the two photos of it's the same dog, little Chihuahua dog with his teeth showing, and he looks real mean. And it says, pastors in 2010 saying, Facebook is of the devil. And then right next to that dog is the same dog photo, smiling, looking like he's smiling. And it says 2020, and it's pastors saying, come and watch our live stream. So that is funny. As a pastor, that is hilarious, because I was one of those guys that Facebook is just, that's a rough place. But it's a tool like any other tool. But be joyful in hope, because we have hope. No matter what, everything that we've based our hope on is still true, hasn't changed. Even if the worst thing possible could happen, and I'll just say, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen with this coronavirus? We could die. That is true. And death is not a fun topic, but the Apostle Paul wrote many, many, many chapters of the Bible, of the New Testament, are on the subject of death or the next life specifically. In fact, he says he didn't want us to be ignorant about those who have died, those who have fallen asleep. And specifically, he says, or he doesn't want us to be grieving like those who have no hope. And that's so important because we do have hope. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so he in fact, he talks about he preferred. He's looking forward to the next life. He's looking forward to it. He says, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And so he's not wishing for death. I mean, I'm not talking about that, but he's saying the worst thing that could happen in this life is the best thing that could ever happen eternally. Jesus came and he conquered death, and he conquered it so that we can conquer it too. And because he conquered it, we conquer it as well. And we aren't to have a fear of death. In fact, not having a fear of death liberates you from all other fears. If you don't fear dying because you have hope in Christ, it's a blow to all other fears. Fear of not having finances, not having good health, not having whatever it is. All those other fears are impacted and lessened when we don't carry around or the devil wants to leverage us with the fear of death. But when we don't, in fact, some of the most dangerous people in World War II were the kamikaze Japanese fighter pilots, because they had no fear of death. Their job was to fly planes into ships and so on. And that's a really difficult enemy to deal with. And you will be a really difficult enemy of the devil's to deal with when you don't have a fear of death, when he can't leverage you in that way to manipulate you with that. So we have a lot to be joyful for. We can be joyful in hope. We, as believers of all people on the earth, have the most reason to be joyful in hope. And to the degree that you understand what your future will look like in Christ, the more joyful you'll be. So the second thing it says, be patient in affliction. And really, I want to look at two ways that we respond to affliction biblically now. It's either by repentance or by endurance. And the one, because affliction is a natural result of sin. It's a natural consequence of sin. It says the wages of sin is death. And there's things, and it's not that God is against us that he allows it. It's because he's for us that consequences come when we sin. And these aren't designed to punish us, but they're actually designed to deter us, to to motivate us to get out of sin. And that's the real goal of it. And that's why God allows bad things to happen when we choose to do bad things. And with it, he provided a way out. And the way out of those, that kind of affliction due to sin, is repentance. All it is turning from sin, turning from a sinful way of life, getting the fear of God in us. If the afflictions are coming because of our sinful choices, and the afflictions will dissipate, the afflictions will go. And so that's if there's sin. Now, if there's no sin, the second biblical response to afflictions, it says to endure. If there's no sinful, known sin, anything that we're willfully doing that God would call sin, then we have afflictions like this virus, like other things, like some financial trouble, like whatever it might be. The biblical response is to endure it, to endure. It says endure hardship like a good soldier. And a good soldier is one who's fighting the good fight. And Paul says, fight the good fight. And I always say that it's called a good fight because we win. It's not bad fights are the fights we lose, but it's a good fight, and we're to endure and lean into his grace and his strength to help us follow through and be patient in that affliction, to know that this will come to an end. And I just want to encourage you, it's going to come to an end. There will be an end to this. So be patient and wait on God and lean into him during this time of affliction. It's so important in dark times to keep our focus on the goodness of God. And that's why it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on the Lord. He is a beautiful Savior. And then it also talks about afflictions, and it describes them and defines them as light and momentary. These are small compared to the hope that we have and what we have waiting for us on the other side. We have a lot to look forward to. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and be faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Prayer is our connection with God. You know, circumstances, whether it's finances or health, whatever, or our own human nature, our own sinful, impatient, greedy, whatever it might be to our own nature. And then, of course, the devil himself, the enemy of our souls, is always trying to get us to cut off, to lose connection to God, to get that relationship separated, divided. So be faithful in prayer, because that's your connecting line to God. Even when it feels like he's not there, be faithful in prayer. When you don't see any action or you don't see any apparent responses to your prayer, seems like nothing's happening, be faithful in prayer. And when you get to be tempted to thinking that he's not listening, that you know something in your head tells you it doesn't matter, doesn't do any good to pray, be faithful in prayer, because absolutely guaranteed God is listening. He cares. He's the God who sees, and he cares, and he's able to work in the situation. I was walking by the other day and looking out our window, kind of like today, and I said, oh, it looks like the sun is trying to come out. And then almost immediately the thought just came into my head, and I think it was from the Lord, that it was like God said, the sun's not trying to do anything. The sun is brilliantly glowing right now all the time. It's the clouds. It's the clouds on the earth. It's the earthly things. I feel like he's saying, it's the earthly things that block our view of the sun that is brilliant in full strength and full glory all the time. And so just like those clouds are trying to block us from seeing the sun, things in our lives are trying to block us from seeing the Lord and his goodness towards us. And I just want to say, apply faith to being faithful in prayer. Be faithful. Be full of faith in this time, because God is really pleased by our faith when we don't give in to our feelings, don't give in to what goes on in our heads, but trust him and believe his word, because he hears every one of them. And I want to tell you, to wrap up here, tell you about one of my favorite places to be in our new facility. We bought this church facility, for those of you who don't know, the River Church building. It was the old Sacred Heart Catholic Church we bought in 2016. So coming up in May, it'll be 4 years. And we owned the building for a while before I found out of a secret passageway, an opening, which was right there the whole time, into the attic above the main sanctuary. And I just love going up there. I love being in that attic and seeing the huge vaulted ceiling, which is the roof line, and the all that goes on there. And just think of the history of that place and all that it took, all the workers that it took to build that place, and all that, I mean, the building was built by an architect named Victor Cordella from Krakow, Poland. He was born in 1872. I'll give you a little background here. He is the architect behind a lot of buildings, mostly churches, in the Twin Cities area and in southern Minnesota. And so he goes way back. And that building is the part that he designed and had built is about 100 years old, built in about 1920. It was finished in 1922. So the original part was built in 1879, but I like to go up there because there's such amazing evidence of some really skilled quality people who did a lot of hard work. I mean, you go up there and there's the mix of carpentry. So a lot of the woodwork, but also steel work. There's all kinds of steel trusses. There's these huge steel turnbuckles that are massive pieces of engineering and metal, holding these metal rods and metal beams mixed in with the lumber all together. And then there's the plaster and the lath and the arch. There's double arches and there's catwalks along the top of the arch, then lower catwalks and down on the kind of the sides of the arch, big arch ceiling that you see from the sanctuary. But I just think of the many skilled people that came along before us and worked so hard to make the place what it is. And they got these cool things. I mean, just primitive things. There's these tin, looks like old mailboxes that just have lids, and it allows the heat to escape the sanctuary or keeps the heat in, that you have to manually put the lid on. And it just also there's evidence. You can see where there was fires. And some of the former members of the church at our open house told us about how the church experienced massive fires, and yet it's still standing. You can see the charred wood. You can see huge areas of the half of the attic is blackened somewhat by the fire, and how that burned as much as it did and is still, and the firemen were able to put it out is amazing. But so this building has seen some battles and got some scars. And then God gave it to us. So 100 years later, God gave it to us. And I just am so honored that we have been given this treasure. He gave it to us to make our improvements. We did some acoustic things and some electronic things, and there's some frames to hang heavy speakers in the sanctuary. And then we did some roof repair, and so new lumber and clay tile roofing. Then there's the evidence of every now and then a bat, a little bat guano here and there. But what a gift. Every time I go up there, I'm just amazed at the gift that God included us into something that's been around for so long, that so many people have gone before us to make it what it is. And I want to explain how you get there, how you get up to the attic, because I didn't know it right away, but anyway, you got to go behind what we call the green room. It's behind the front altar where the musicians kind of have their area. And you go through a door into a small, we call it the tower room, that's not been renovated. And you have to climb up a ladder that's mounted to the wall. And the ladder doesn't go all the way up, so you got to kind of climb on top of the ladder in through a hole in the ceiling of the tower room, and it's not as super easy. It is now that I've done it a bunch of times, but get through there into this room that where they used to ring the bell. And there's a cool room, all kinds of wood cupboards and wood shelving, and plus a pigeon bird nest is still on the shelving in there somehow. But this is where the person would stand. You can see worn out spot in the wooden floor where we're talking 100 years of ringing the church bell. And it's fun to imagine. But then from there, there's another ladder that's homemade. It's strong, but it's a homemade ladder that goes all the way up to at least a 12 to 15 foot ceiling through another hole in the ceiling. And then when you get into that next level, take a look to your left, and there's about a 2 foot square hole in the wall. And I didn't realize what that was for. One day I climbed in there, and you got to crawl across a plank, and you crawl up. You don't want to look up too fast because there's pipes, low-hanging pipes, and you get across that plank, and then you get so far, and then you can stand up, and you're in. And I say all this, you know, then you can see all the charred wood and the trusses and the 8x10 wood beams and the wood and metal and all this. I say this because the kingdom of God is like this. Many skilled and dedicated and sacrificial people came before us to build the kingdom of God. They went before us to bring God's kingdom on earth. They've labored for generations. They've sacrificed greatly of their time and talents and all resources so that we could hear the gospel, so we could hear the good news. They've fought through battles. They've paid the price. They've labored and gone through storms in history, storms in spiritual senses, spiritual ways, whether that was the prophets of old or the great teachers of old, of the spiritual teachers or your great-grandparents or your parents or pastors or whoever. A lot of people, I think of many people in my life that have helped me to not only meet Christ for the first time, but to grow in faith and in strength. And that's what I stand in that attic and I look at all this and I think, what a gift from God. What a gift that so many people were willing to pay the price and do this. And now we get to make our own impression on it. Now we get to make the humility of God to invite us into his story that he has been making for generations upon generations. And he invites us to make our mark and include our impression, our little piece into that whole story. And you have a piece. You have part of the story. You are part of the story. If you're in Christ, you are part of this multi-generational, multi-international story that's going on that God invites you to add to it, to build upon it. And it's just an awesome responsibility and amazing thing that God calls us to weave our lives into this massive work that he's been doing for so long. And I just am amazed. And it's such a personal thing, and yet it's such a corporate thing at the same time. And I invite you into it to know, and I want to encourage you that in this time, in this season, in this coronavirus season, God is calling you to make your mark, to leave your impression, to build in this setting, to be the word of encouragement to people, to be the answer, to be the source of good news for people that need to hear good news, to be joyful in hope, to be patient in affliction, and to be faithful in prayer. Because these current challenges that we're in are light and momentary. Amen. And I want to leave you with just how important it is to know that you are right with God. In a simple 4 points, to know that it's not automatic. Everyone that dies doesn't go to heaven. You have to choose. Sin separates us. God loves us intensely, but sin separates us from God. So that has to be dealt with. God loves us, but we're sinners. And it says, like I said, the wages of sin is death. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us separated from Him in hell forever. He wants us with Him. So He made a way so that we can know that we are right with God and that we're forgiven. And that way is Jesus. He sent His Son to live a perfect life and perfectly obeyed. He never sinned, and He died in our place. And if we believe that, and that's, we have to receive Jesus. You have to put your trust in Jesus. That washes the sin away, that takes the punishment that we deserve, and you can know that you are forgiven and you are welcomed into the kingdom of God now and into His presence forever. That's always my goal for anyone that I talk to, is that they know the love of God, know where they're going in the next life, and don't have to just wonder and hope for the best, but it's all based on what Jesus did for us. So I want to close in prayer now. And I want you to, if I just want to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it in your heart. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to know that you are forgiven of your sin, that you are part of this big story, and to be invited into this big story that God has started so long ago, and that you can join in with that. And just repeat after me in your own heart, Heavenly Father, just say this in your heart. I admit that I've sinned, and my sin has kept me far from You. And I believe You love me, and that the punishment I deserved, You took it by sacrificing Your life on the cross for me. I believe it now, and I repent of my sin, and I choose to live the way You want me to live. I give every area of my life to You and ask You to take charge. Thank You, God, for loving me. Thank You for forgiving me. Help me to know that I'm forgiven, and help me to live for You all the rest of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And now I just want to pray for all of us. Father, I just pray that You would help us all, God, to stay close to You, to be joyful in hope, to be patient in these days of how we're all cooped up and so much is unfamiliar. But You're in it, and You are with us, and You have not changed. You have not forsaken us. Lord, help us to endure this like good soldiers and to be faithful in prayer, to not give up seeking You, not give up spending time with You and being in Your Word, and all the more as we're going through this. God, help us. Thank You that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray, Lord, You bless this week. Help us to fulfill all that You have in mind for us. In it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Well, we love you guys. Be safe, be well, and we'll see you soon. God bless.